When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Here's a hypothetical. If your neighbor buys Enlist One herbicide and Instinct Next Gen nitrogen stabilizer, and you buy Enlist One and Instinct Next Gen but use True Choice, what's the difference between you? Well, besides you obviously being the smarter neighbor, about $5,000 extra in your pocket. Don't miss out on easy extra cash. Choose True Choice and get up to 10% back. Visit Corteva.com/save now.
That's how I'm feeling right now. We're back at it, man. Homegrown Radio Live.
Homegrown.
Chuck Dugan.
Homegrown.
DJ here, Miss Bliss up in here, man.
Yes.
Friend of the home. I can't say neighborhood or anything like that, man. Friend of the house, the home, man. The homie Curtis King is in the
building. Doing this shit right now.
What?
I don't got nothing to do with this
that
shit.
That just
right
shows
now.
How much you're working.
DJ here says it's okay.
Next thing you know, this nigga gonna be like, hell.
Low keto.
What the fuck is this nigga doing,
bro? Hey, man, Curtis King, man, welcome back, bro. It's been a minute.
He's trying to fuck the money up,
right?
Hey.
You see what he's doing already.
What you got to do is just change subjects real fast.
I know, right? So, man, it's crazy, right?
Man.
That's crazy.
Hey.
What were we talking about before this?
Chicken is
delicious.
Chicken is crazy.
Right, Tomas?
Chicken is crazy, right? Ping, ping, ping.
Ping, ping, ping. Yeah, I'm good. Thank y'all for having me, first of all.
It's been a minute, man.
Curtis
King, I feel like you went off the radar, but you went even more on the radar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that's been going on, man. So, I mean, since we last talked, what's been going on?
I
want
to say something before that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But you got to ping off.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
I want to say that.
You want to say that? Okay.
I could be at Disneyland right now.
Okay.
And I made sure I wanted to point this out. There is an iHeartMedia takeover at the happiest motherfucking place on earth.
But you're not a happy nigga.
Right now. I am happy.
No, you're not.
I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to, you know, to have sex. And I just want to point out the fact that, and I love food too. And I just want to point out the fact that I'm here with Curtis King
on a night
where I could be at the happiest place on earth.
You sure
just
could.
Just because you could be, right. Doesn't mean you wanted to.
I did want to be. I did want to go. You was going to be doing this interview.
So,
let's
point the fact out. What time does Disneyland close?
Like 10 or?
It don't close at 10.
It's a weekday.
Disneyland does not close
at
10.
Close at least
bottom
at
line,
night.
You still got time to go there.
11.
Yeah, you can still
they
make it.
They close at 11.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You can still make it.
You still go there.
But I appreciate you sacrificing
a little sprinkle of happiness.
Right.
In theory.
Hey, no. On some real shit, that is actually a compliment. Because there's been times where he's like, man, y'all got this.
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm gone.
No, man. Hey, you saying that? I'm blessed to be in y'all presence, and I appreciate it. Even though y'all family, and I've known you for so long.
Yeah,
it's definitely expanding on what you just said. Though, I mean, you couldn't hit the head. You couldn't hit on the head even more sharp. What you said was I had to fall off course for a second. Something I learned in my marketing classes really early on was that, you know, planes don't fall. They don't go in a straight destination. So if you're flying from LAX to, you know, JFK, they don't go in straight lines.
Right.
They have to literally fall off course in order to see how off course they are.
Really?
So they purposely zigzag.
I never knew that.
So literally when I start looking at life like that or looking at failure like that, failure is literally a prerequisite to get whatever you want to get.
Absolutely.
Right.
So believing in that and understanding that what on the radar could mean to me is something completely different than somebody else. I think sometimes you just got to do it to regroup. Sometimes you just got to shut up and regroup.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that, you know, it's so many things to be distracted by nowadays with the social media that it's more than enough to get into. And we us being in the industry, we can call everything work.
Right.
I'm on Instagram.
I'm
that's work.
I'm working.
Yep.
I'm on Facebook.
Lord knows niggas be doing that.
It ain't a stretch sometimes, you know, because we got to promote ourselves. But, you know, we still need time to unplug.
Well, I was going to say, how do you do that within the industry? I know there's a lot of people that are listening right now that look up to Curtis King, or maybe they're listening to you for the first time and like, okay, what is this guy talking about? Like, how do you unplug in a sense of, all right, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Right.
It's not like motherfuckers hit the top 10 on some, you know what I'm saying, on the billboard charts. It's not like, you know what I'm saying, you got a flat or a loft somewhere downtown L.A.
Right.
I mean, you still got you got things. You got the family. You got everything that you're happy with. And I definitely see that. And you're successful on your own terms. But from I know that there's goals that you still want to hit. And right. with social media, that's a tool in how you market yourself. Mm-hmm. So how do you allow yourself to unplug and go from there?
Well, I think social media is making it easier and easier. I don't even think they know that either. When you think of some of the things that they do, they make it easier for us to walk away.
Who's they?
The social media people who own them.
Gotcha.
Who own these companies. They don't understand some of the decisions they make, although they may be convenient for the user. There's certain things, like think about Instagram. Now they inserted to where if I put up a photo at 12 today, they'll give you that while you were gone, you might have missed this photo. It's not as valuable as it was to post at a certain time. Uh-huh. Even Facebook makes sure that if your algorithm is good, your post will always stay at the top, even if you post at 3 a.m.
Gotcha.
So a lot of these are making it easier to where it's like, one, I had to get out my own way. I had to stop trying to control all aspects of my business. I had to accept help because people wanted to help, but it was like sometimes accepting help is another job in itself. Right. So where you got to call somebody like, yo, what are you doing? Like, let me just do it myself. That's how I am. That's how I was in group projects in high school.
Trust me.
I was the one in the group that was like, you motherfuckers ain't. All right,
I gotta do this.
Look, I just do the whole thing, and y'all, I don't care.
Listen, you was that guy.
Because at first I'd be like, yo, okay, well, let's delegate this, let's do this. But then at the end of it, it's like, what did you do your thing? And they'd be like, no. Oh, I ain't even get so.
Nah, I didn't even get to that.
Awesome, bro, man. Like, I ain't even do it, man.
You know what's crazy, man? I had a lot of shit going on. Like, come on, fucking.
But all honesty, you know, like the really at the heart of it, is I hate poverty. I hate the lows of my lows so much. And when I use hate, I really probably shouldn't even use hate, but I detest it a lot to the point where that keeps me driven. Even the feeling of being broke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I could never, I don't care if it's a penny in my pocket. Mm-hmm. I'd rather that than be broke again because of how it makes you feel as a man.
Yeah.
And you know, I made light of a lot of stuff, but what I didn't realize over the years is that rats are still jocking. That's how my day is going. These are self-fulfilling prophecies. Mm-hmm. Even when things change in your personal and business, like this self-fulfilling prophecy. And I'm saying this every night of the show.
Very true.
And I'm telling people this, and they're like, oh, you're so funny, and it becomes entertainment. But then it's like, I understand why there's certain celebrities that lose their mind when they get deeper and deeper into the game. I'm not saying I'm a celebrity, but I see why, because you literally have to live this poisonous language over and over and over again, because it's like, that's my favorite song. How you not going to...
Right,
how you not gonna perform? That. This is how we do it, Montel.
Yeah, come on, Montel.
What you?
I don't care if you in church. Perform it.
Up here trying to get off on them trap beats. I'm trying to hear this is how we do it. So I mean, that was a main thing. And then two, honestly, you know, there's more than enough to do in this industry at all times, right? There's more than enough to get busy in. But the thing that we don't really focus on, even as human beings, whether we work in 9-to-5s or in this industry, is us as human beings and the things that we can do to develop ourselves and the things that we can do to develop strength in our emotions, develop strength in who we are. I had to do a whole re-clean at the top of the year because I was finding myself successful. I was finding like a lot of things were popping off and a lot of stuff that, you know, y'all were there. We were all there firsthand, and it's just it wasn't, I didn't feel like I had purpose. And the fear of that was stronger than anything else. It was stronger than, you know, breaking relationships. It was stronger than a lot of things because the fear of not having a purpose. Mm-hmm. For me to look back on success, for me, and I've been in, you know, some of these producers and rappers who I've been in their houses and I looked around, like I even like actualized it, touching the walls, touching the tables, like, yo, this is what it would feel like.
Right.
But knowing their level of success and knowing this is what this feels like, I said I wouldn't be happy still. I had to have a real talk with me. I didn't even tell you. I was at Hit Boy's house, and that happened. I was at Hit Boy's house, and he invited me over there to do some work for Audio Push, and his house is beautiful.
Yeah.
Two studio, everything's beautiful.
Yeah. No furniture in that motherfucker.
It ain't. That's true. But at the same time,
that
like,
shit's beautiful, though.
But at the same time, it's a realization that, four, whatever, how many walls he got, 16, 17. Walls are still walls. Right. Tables are still tables. Couches are still couches. And that if you put all of your happiness and your fulfillment into that destination, you're going to get there and you're going to lose your mind because it's not enough.
It's like, that's it.
So everybody has something that fulfills them. Everybody has something that keeps them going. And for me, it's giving. It's giving. Giving. Because Tony Robbins says six things that we all as human beings need. Mm-hmm. We have a need for certainty. We have a need for uncertainty. We have a need for significance. We have a need for love and connection. We have a need for growth and a need for contribution. Mm-hmm. Mine's growth. That need to be number one. Mm-hmm. But last year, my focus was significance. I wanted people to know Curtis King is somebody.
Right, right.
My music is coming from a good place.
Yeah.
I got that. Significance was everything, but it left me depressed. So fast, I didn't even say it in the song too, but fast forward to November 27th, I was leaving a Murray show and going to my car, and I remember calling my fiance like, I'm fucking lost.
You said that?
I called her. Me, she'll tell you right now. I called her. I said, I've never felt this lost in my life.
And this is after probably a lot of things are happening for you.
This is after Hip Hop DX that I had one of the top 25 albums of the year.
Wow.
Why does that not fill me up?
Yeah.
It's not because I'm not grateful. I'm ultra grateful.
Yeah.
But the reality of it was that my heart was asking for more, even on a spiritual sense. Like, I know that I'm here for big reasons. Mm-hmm. When Head, you tweeted one time, an investment in Curtis King would be like an investment in a young Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't remember putting that, I remember that, and it gives me goosebumps every time I read that. And I look at that, and I felt responsibility as soon as I saw that. And it's more so responsibility to set the bar higher. Because my thing is, I was just, okay, I'm broke. I don't want to be broke no more. Mm-hmm. And then I get that, and I'm like, okay, well, I want to get a car. And then I get a car, and then it's like, okay, well, it's just set too low. Mm-hmm. So everybody's like, yo, Curtis got potential. He got potential. But it took me going on the road that I went the last year in order for it to make sense. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking at, like, this campaign I'm doing for this project,
yeah.
And I got my emails flooded with people who have pre-ordered for the album.
That's such a dope marketing tool.
Like, yeah,
such a dope marketing.
But you know what? I don't want to take too much.
Good,
I'm like a soliloquy.
Nah, you good? You good.
But no, like honestly, my thing was I'm not giving enough to my industry. Most rappers, most of my peers are like, I got enough of my own problem. Who am I gonna give to? Right. So I read a book called The Go Giver, and what I realized is that between reading that book, between listening to these podcasts, every one of these millionaires that you listen to when you interview them. There was a podcast called EO Fire, and he asked all these millionaires, billionaires, he said, what are your streams of revenue? Mm. Would you know that almost 98% of them said at least teaching was one of them? Mm. Even if it's not just them sitting there physically in the front of a chalkboard, right?
Give it back somehow.
Teaching is a part of it, even if it's a teaching tool. So I looked at that, and I'm like, how these millionaires got time to teach folks, but these rappers ain't got no time?
Right.
How we ain't got, we making too much money to have time for that? Right. I know our responsibilities are different. We got to tour the country. We got to do all these things, but they got responsibilities too. When I saw that, I was like, I felt like somebody had been keeping a secret from me for my whole life. Mm. And I feel like the industry that we're in, it doesn't support the whole giving. It supports capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, we come up, and it's like, now you got to go get yours.
Yeah.
Even all my mentors, most of my mentors, actually not all of them, but most of my mentors is like, nah, fuck that. You got to go get yours. Don't worry about helping nobody else. And that kind of, you look in any kind of culture before hip hop, those cultures die when it's not regenerating information. When you're not saying, yo, don't go down that road, because if you go down that road, that's what killed your great, 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 great uncle.
Right.
If we don't have those conversations, we're doomed. You know, even as a genre, and I'm not talking about saving golden age hip. I ain't talking about none of that shit. I'm talking about saving a culture of people who love music so much that it comes from a real place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that in whole, that's now I'm feeling like that's really been my mission. And it's something I've been doing anyways. Even when I was with Black Cloud, you ask any of them, it'd be times where we'd be having like consultation sessions. I didn't even know that's what it was.
Right.
It's to be meeting somebody amazing like a Salas before I even knew.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the man. That's a real man.
Yeah.
And he would sit there and he would break down concepts in such an easy way. And he had a great way of breaking down very complex topics
simple.
And make it simplistic.
Yeah.
And that was an example for me to understand, okay, well, how can I talk to my peers? Who do I know better than anybody else? I'm up here trying to get fans. I'm trying to get female fans. I want to get these fans. I want to get this demographic. I want to do this. And I'm like, who I know better than anybody else? Mm-hmm. I know rappers.
Yeah.
I know producers. Who be at these shows? We be complaining like, oh, man, too many rappers at these shows. Too many producers.
But those are the people that's consuming.
Yeah. And money's still green.
Yeah. Right?
Bliss bought one of my CDs. One like the second time I met her, mm-hmm. she bought one of my CDs. That's one of my first music sales. You don't even know that.
Crazy.
It was one of my first music sales. So I didn't have the epiphany until I saw the example that these millionaires were laying out. Like when Steve Jobs was presenting the new iPhone, he's not just showing you a product, he's showing you how to use it.
Yeah.
It's teaching.
Right.
So you saying that, you lit a fire, you know, and it's a necessary fire. And I appreciate that, because even to this day, I've done over the last year, and I don't say this for bragging rights, but I did 300 videos where I basically just expunged any information I had or information that I was learning mm-hmm. to my peers. And I didn't charge them for anything.
Right.
For what? Like, I'm giving you the game that I wish somebody would have gave me when I was up here on the internet searching through message boards and searching through Google searches. And we didn't have all the information. We didn't have YouTube like it is now.
Right.
And I was searching for it, and nobody was willing to give it to me. I would go try to ask somebody, be like, nigga, move on.
Right.
I don't even got no time for that. But now that I have an opportunity to do that, and I know that I have, because my thing, too, was how you got the audacity to do that. Who are you? You ain't no expert.
Right.
Go to a courthouse, and they say an expert witness is somebody who knows more about an event than anybody else in the room.
Mm.
How many courtrooms of rappers and producers does that exist?
Very true.
Like, you're not a rapper, Chuck, but how many times you been in a room and you know, like, damn, to me, I thought that was the, I thought every rapper knew that. Those are the basics.
Right.
But how many courtrooms are you in head where it's like...
Oh, I'm in too many rooms.
Oh, I know. That. And I know you don't hold your tongue. You know, Bliss, like, y'all are all professionals because of the, you've invested the 10,000 hours and you're professionals in the things and information that you have. And there's so many kids out there, they don't even want to know, like, we be thinking like, oh, don't give away the secrets. Like, oh, they don't even want to know, like, the craziest, like, the more intricate stuff.
Yeah.
They want to know stuff like, how do I get my music on iTunes?
The basics. Right. Yeah.
Really?
It's like, I can show you that.
Yep. Oh, easy. Right.
So when did you decide to materialize that into these courses? Because I feel like, and I don't, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there was one specific video that took off and blew up.
Yeah. Went viral.
Okay, so what, check this out. Was that any question?
No, I was going to say, did it materialize into something where you knew it was going to be courses, or you just said, you know what, I just want to throw something out, I want to give, and then that itself was like, okay, this is something that I can do strategically to continue giving.
I'll be honest with you, I had no idea what I was going to say in that video. All I knew was that, you ever be overthrown with something so, like, good news or good information, and you just can't hold it in?
Yeah.
It start boiling inside of you, physically, and you like, yo, I have to do something because this information is just too important. That's what it was with the Go Giver. Reading in a book that, you know, the way that you get the success you want in this life is literally going to be at the hand of giving. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's literally the requirement to do what you want to, anything, even if it's, it has to be an exchange of value. Somebody from North Dakota right now, look, I'm not a DJ Mustard, you know, type of producer. You know, that's completely his lane, but I know enough about it to where a kid from North Dakota who's trying to learn how to make, like, ratchet beats, he looks at me like a god because he's like, yo, I've been just trying to figure out how to do it. I got Head right here who done had records, you know what I mean, and had them records, and he played them records. I had access to them. And sometimes I take that for granted because I'm like, this is just, you know, this is fam, but that kid in North Dakota is like, yo, man, I just want to get my snap to sound like how that sound. You know what I'm saying? Right. So for me, I made a video called The Biggest Lie in Hip-Hop. Because like I said, I felt like I had been lied to. I made it, and in 24 hours, it did 74,000 views. Would you know I never had a music video that did that much? Never had a song that did that much?
Really?
24 hours, right? 24 hours after that, I said, let's try it again. But I'm going to do real information. I said, let's make a video about why you shouldn't tag strangers on Facebook.
Right.
About Facebook algorithm. 60,000 in 24 hours. And so, not that I looked at it like, oh man, this is a way to get my, I didn't look at it like that at first. For me, I was like, okay, apparently I have information. Mm-hmm. Apparently I'm the expert witness in this particular, you know, environment. So I just kept doing it. So then it transitioned to, you know, I started writing down a list of things that I had to deal with when I was 17, 18, trying to rap. All the problems that I could remember that I had. Then I asked like my Facebook audience and they told me their problems. I made a list, and I just started knocking out videos left and right, and I started this series called Artist Marketing and Producer Motivation, because I feel like, you know, all my life I've been told, like, as a producer, pursue placements, only pursue placements, never lease your beats, you're cheapening your craft, what are you doing, like, that's embarrassing to the craft. There's been, like, folks that have been my mentors and OGs, is like, yo, you do that, I can't mess with you.
Damn.
Because it's embarrassing to them, right?
And they don't want
to
be associated with somebody
associated
that does
because
that.
Because it's like how you going, and I understand their stance too. I know it comes from a place of love, but it's like if they selling their stuff off for $4,000, $5,000 and I'm making beats that kind of sound them in the same lane and I'm saying like, here, $20 lease.
Got you.
So them, I understand where they're coming from, but what they have to understand is that the placement game is a mother.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say on your end, like at that point, I'm not gonna get into your pockets like that, but
I'm open book.
Being in that situation though, bro, like, yo, I need to make money. So if by means $20-$30 lease beats or $200-$300 lease beats is what you gotta do to make money, how can somebody kinda side eye you in that aspect unless they're gonna give you the opportunity to say, look, I got this placement for you.
But see, we're thinking now as full blown adults looking in retrospect, I'm thinking from the perspective of when I was 20 I forgot, I was like mid-20s, and I got my first placement. I couldn't even afford to go down. Like, I got my first placement with Glass Malone and Mac 10.
I remember you telling that story.
And I couldn't even afford the gas to get down there. I'm up here talking to Ace Pun, because he the one, you know, picked the record up. And he's like, yo, can you come down here to track it out? And I had literally used the last of my money to go to church that day. Mm-hmm. And I came home to that email, and it was like, oh, you got a placement. And it was like, in my head, I'm like, oh, man, it's about to be... Everything I ever heard was probably like $2,000, $3,000.
Yeah.
And I mean, and like I said, I don't say that as a diss, because what I got was what I was supposed to get right. as a starting producer.
Right.
But, you know, at the time, I had a manager that was my PR before, and I actually owed her money. She had a baby on the way, and a lot of stuff happened to where I got that check, and it was $500, and I owed her $450. And my mom and I were a month away from being evicted.
Ooh.
And I couldn't ask her to keep the money because her baby was on the way.
Damn.
Street Goddess. Okay?
Shouts out,
so,
yeah.
So it had to happen. Those stories had to happen. Funny thing about it is we had an issue with the check because they put my rapper. That's something else too. Producers, make sure they put your government name on there. So
please.
They put Curtis King, and I couldn't, you know, cash it. I waited. It was like a 4-month process before I got that check.
That's so weird.
Right? But guess what? You want to hear something? You want to know how God worked? The place where the checks were cut, because I know a guy got a sense of humor. The place where the checks were cut, I was living in Rancho Cucamonga.
Uh-huh.
Would you know that the Who Banging office is in Rancho Cucamonga?
Yeah. I didn't know Who Banging at all.
It blew my mind.
Yeah.
But I look at it, and the only reason I even saw that was because we were moving out the house, and I looked at the fine print on the book, and I was like,
wait a minute. It's down the
check.
Street.
I could have walked down the street.
Right.
I probably didn't have the money to drive it, even down the street, but I could have walked. But no, you know what? That had to happen. I'm not... Like, you got to understand, this energy that I got right now, it is a lot of this last year, but even then, I could have stepped it up more. I went to this Tony Robbins convention the last 4 days. I can't even, like, explain to you. Like, I'm electric right now.
Yeah.
Everything inside of me is electric, and it's hard to explain, but I'm in a space right now where it's like, and that really comes down to the concept of the project, but this whole year, man, I'm sorry, I'm going to go all over the place, but going back to your question about the placements, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to do it. And then 10 years pass by, evictions, repos, all this crazy stuff is happening, and I cannot get it right. No matter how great my success is in music, I can't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, and I decided to have to take a chance when my back's against the wall. Not to give you too much information about business, but my fiance and family were in a situation where we had to be out of a residence within a month, and I just came off tour. I was in debt.
Right.
What the hell am I going to do? Yeah. I can't wait on no placement for a year.
Yeah.
And so I started doing this leasing business. Shout out to Awesome Beats who, you know,
shout
so
out,
graciously
man.
Introduced me to it. But because of that, like, I made more money in a year than I made in 10 years pursuing placements. 10 years.
Mm.
We don't get no younger.
Nah,
I don't say that as bragging right. And I don't even say that like it's a lot of money. I just say that to show you how little money
right.
was coming through. Because the thing about it is once you get a placement, you got to wait a year. Well, the bills don't stop waiting.
Yeah.
Your car note don't stop waiting. So they waiting like, look, so you got all of this pent up debt, and now you got to pay that off, and you never get to enjoy your money. So that's really what pushed me. Now, I mean, I did the videos, and I said, you know what? For a year, I'm going to release a video at least once a week, 2 videos a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed to it, and I've built an audience. It's so ironic that I was trying to build an audience through my music so much. I wanted people to love me and my music so much, and it just didn't work like that. Mm-hmm. But the moment that I just was me, I sat in front of a chair in front of my iPhone. I didn't shot videos on red cams.
Yeah.
Like, fuck cancer was on a red cam, and it got like 15,000 views.
That's crazy.
I sit up here and talk about how to upload your album to iTunes, and we looking 70,000.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not mad at it. I'm not even mad at the person that I was and the mistakes that I made, because had that young knucklehead not tried, I'm not here today.
Right.
You don't have those stories.
You don't have those things.
But I tell you one powerful thing that I got from this last conference was that Tony Robbins basically took you through you had to close your eyes. You went through this mindset change. He said, imagine yourself 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Imagine yourself in the house that you're working for right now, the car that you're working for, the family you're working for. Imagine the doors. Imagine the carpet. Imagine all this detail. Imagine you walk into that house and you see an aged face that is yours 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that person in full tears thanking you for doing all the sacrificing you're doing right now. For all the times you have doubt, like, damn, am I doing the right thing? Imagine that person say you did the right thing and I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me a feeling I can't even explain.
Yeah.
then Tony, in that hypnosis stage, takes that idea away from you and then makes you have to think about what would happen 10 years from now if you kept procrastinating, if you kept doing it. What does your face look like? What does it look like to have a face of, you know, not a purposeful face? What is it like to have an unfulfilled face? I thought about that and saw my face.
Those tears are not for joy anymore. Those tears are of like struggle.
Bro, I've been in, you know what I'm saying? I've gone through my share of things, but by no means have I had the hardest life, you know, but I've gone through my things and I thought about that. And I was in a room full of 10,500 people. I broke down and I wasn't the only one in there broke down because it's real. But I needed that cleansing in order to get clarity. Now that I got clarity, now it's like stuff that you used to tell me. Stuff that you used to tell me, Chuck. Stuff that you used to tell me, Bliss. Like, you gonna be this.
Right.
The frame that I was in wasn't ready to be in that. Had it happened, it'd have been the worst thing ever. Had success happened in that frame, physically, mentally, spiritually. Like, I was already starting to see things about the industry that I look, even just going on parties with you, and we just look around and stuff and just be like, this is how it really is sometimes. Like, hey, this is how it really is. I see it and I'll be like.
A hypothetical. If your neighbor buys Enlist One and Instinct Next Gen and you buy them with True Choice, what's the difference? An extra $5,000 in your pocket? Don't miss out. Get up to 10% back with True Choice at Corteva.com/save now.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good. Your local, the everything you need to be unstoppable store. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. The UPS store locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours may vary. See center for details.
Nah, it can't be. Right. I was like, I don't want to be that. Martin Lawrence in a jacket, you know, and running down the street. Because I'm not clowning him. That could very well have been me.
Absolutely.
Looking and thinking about, but I can say the words I'm happy and not think twice about it. Mm-hmm. And it had to happen this way, you know?
So you just came back from the seminar.
Tony Robbins, yeah, to unleash the power within. I walked on coals and all that.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
Is that a mind over matter type shit?
He takes you through he took us through a hypnosis stage, right? And it's not like how people think of hypnosis. Like, I had to rethink that whole thing. But I got a homie that does hypnosis for UFC fighters, and he gets them ready before, and his success record is ridiculous.
Get out of here.
So he took me through a few of those where it just the next day I'm bouncing around and got so much energy. But Tony was like, how long do you think you guys were under right now? Everybody in the room, 10,000 people, someone, 10-15 minutes. He said you were under for 45 minutes. Time, you just lose track of time.
What?
Wow.
Mind you, it was 60 hours of a 4 days, 60 hours. The first day was 13 hours straight.
Wait, say that again.
60 hours over 40 days.
Okay.
Sitting in a...
I thought you said 68. I was like, only 24 hours.
But no, real talk. We were in there for like... The first day was 13 hours. 13 hours, and he's just going off the cuff. He's not losing any kind of energy. You're not getting bored.
Right. And I've seen his videos, too.
We're not even eating.
Wow. Not even thinking about it, huh?
Drinking water.
And he got the get a shot of that. Unleash the beast.
We sitting there drinking water, eating snacks because he's trying to remind us.
Unleash the power within. I said unleash the beast.
Yeah, that's true. But he's reminding us that, you know, our bodies don't really need all the stuff we give it. And just things that he broke down, like every day was like another part of your body that you need to get over. Like the first few days were all about the mind. Then the end started being about health. And he started telling you, like, there's a reason why you don't have energy sometimes, and you think it's because of the people around you. You think it's because of things people do to you. And it's like, it's literally the stuff that you put in your mouth.
Yeah.
The first 2 hours.
Yeah.
Food wise.
There we go.
I don't know if somebody's going to try to pause me for that. But yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, if I know. I know.
I'm talking about.
I'm putting a lot of things in my mouth. I got tired. That shit crazy.
Not in the morning.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, but I mean, your body got to work harder.
Right.
Like, I know I'm saying a lot right now, but your body has to work harder to get that food out. Yeah. And if it has to work by that, you're already working uphill before you even get to work and get out the house. Mm-hmm. And how many jobs do people have where you're just sitting down all day?
Right.
And your cells are just sitting together. So it's a lot of stuff we learn. Like it literally made me go vegan.
What's one of the things that? Get into that. But what's one of the main things that you took away from that experience? Was it the fact that? The whole eating thing, or was it something that you took away that like, damn, that this was it.
The eating was a byproduct. For me, it was coming to grips with the things that are the most painful for me and not having to ever deal with them on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to just deal with the most painful stuff in their life. We just suppress. Right. You know what I mean? Maybe drink it away, whatever. We suppress. But to be in a situation when you're in a room full of people, like I'm up here sharing my life story with people that I've never met. Like a lady from the country of New York. And I'm telling her my deepest and darkest disappointments in my life. And she's just sharing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Something about that makes you understand the human experience in a different way. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing I took away from that was that disease, arguments, depression, anything negative you can think of, cancer, all of these things happen in low energy environments.
Yeah.
When your body is low energy, right? Mm-hmm. All of this stuff is when you're susceptible. If somebody was standing in this room right now, what do you think their shoulders would be if they were depressed?
Down.
Down. Mm-hmm. What do you think their head would be?
Down.
Think about where that laptop's at right now. Mm-hmm. And think about how many times throughout the day a thought would just come to you like your inside voice. Like, you tripping.
Right.
Just a little quick thought. It's because we're programmed to that. The way Tony was saying is that our brains are 2,000 years old. We're literally wired to be fight or flight. Mm. Like 2,000 years ago, it was fighting off saber-toothed tigers.
Yeah.
But we get in our mind looks at things and it's like, if something goes wrong, we're like, okay, what we gotta fight off? Mm-hmm. What we gotta survive for? Mm-hmm. So energy. Energy was the main thing for me because it was like so many times. I mean, we always use that word and we kind of like, I've been around Brooke.
Dragged to the ground.
Brooke Taylor used it all the time. Yeah, and like, I'll be understanding it like 70% of the time, but right. I wasn't feeling it.
Right.
I didn't understand it on that level, but now I understand it and I'm like, literally, bad things happen when the energy is low.
Yeah.
So when I first wake up in the morning, I alkalinize my body. The first thing I do is make sure anything I put in my mouth, food wise,
there we go,
is
And it's just like
it's all good.
Yeah.
So that's some low energy over there.
Yeah, that's definitely somebody that got some low energy.
That's some low energy going on over there.
But I make sure the first thing that goes inside my body is alive, whether it's greens, whether it's juicing, whether it's water, because you end up killing off the momentum before you even get your day started. But that energy, I bought a trampoline. I jump out. Instead of being in front of a computer all day long making beats and my legs are getting rubber, I get out the room. Even like getting in the morning, I'm driving my family crazy because I'm playing music at loud volumes and I'm clapping and I'm dancing. Curtis don't dance. I don't dance.
Curtis don't dance. He boogie.
But honestly, you dance, you're moving around, them cells is all clocked up, you know, clouded up.
Yeah.
And it changes your mood.
Okay. Go ahead.
You said you gained clarity and you was like ready to go as soon as you finished the seminar. Mm-hmm. What was like the first thing on your mind like you wanted to do?
I had to attack.
Talk to my fiance. I need to talk to her because I'm a workaholic and I needed my family to, I needed not to walk in the house and talk about how great everything was. Mm-hmm. I needed to not go in there and try to sell them on anything. I needed to just basically them see it in me because to me it was more important that they see the change in me because, you know, you can say you change, but it's like, how many times do we sit on a regular basis? Right. But I felt the change.
Yeah.
Like it's a complete rewiring. Those 4 days are rewiring. It's coming back in L.A., in March, but the ticket was $700. I've never paid that much for an event.
Wow. Are you serious?
$700. But I got my money's worth the first day.
Damn.
By that, I mean, if it would have been $10,000 and I had it, I would have paid it.
Right.
No doubt. If I have it now and I can go to his business mastery, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And not even to sound like a fanatic, but it's just one thing he teaches is that, you know, if you ever want to learn something faster, get around the people that have already done it.
Yeah.
Power by proximity. Mm-hmm. Power by proximity. And being in there, I'm like, it's a dude that's worth multi-billions. And I'm not trying to make it all about money, but there's a certain level of fulfillment that you see in him. He's talking to us, motivating us. The dude got a tumor in his head. He motivating us.
Yeah.
How much selflessness can exist?
Right.
And look where he's at.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I'm, you know, trying to be Mother Teresa, but there's so much more I could be doing. And I'm trying to do that on a daily basis.
I feel like you've done a lot of giving, like you said, over the last year. Two mm-hmm. videos a day.
Two videos once a week at least.
I'm sorry.
Two videos. 300 videos total this year.
Now, I've kind of seen some of the videos. I've seen the comments too. And it's funny. Not necessarily funny, but I like how you respond to people that aren't subscribing to what you're saying as well.
Right.
You got how do you respond to those people that, look, I'm giving you some game,
mm-hmm.
and then you're counteracting what I'm saying, thinking I'm saying something totally different. How do you still do that, remain positive, and still be able to give them some jewels at the same time?
I have to be able to look at that comment, even once people act like that in general, when people are acting crazy, I have to be able to look at somebody and in my head say, I love you. Because that has a physical difference. Same way if you look at a woman, you say, you are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Instantly her face is just going to light up, right? So if words have that kind of power, if language has that power, I try to look at that conversation in a whole other light. Because my first initial reaction is, nigga, what? Like, bro, like, you don't know who the fuck I am. Don't talk to me like that. That's my first initial reaction, but that's the easy one.
So how do you
now
chop that off?
I say first, I establish this came from a place of either them being lost, they want understanding, or they're basically using me as an example. Like, I had a friend, I was like, man, this person at my work is just always mean to me. They're always a jerk, and I'm always so nice to them. Why do they act like that? And I said, have you ever thought for a second that maybe they act like that, hoping to see how somebody reacts to negativity and to see if you'll ever break character? Mm-hmm. So they're looking at you to teach them.
Right.
Even if they don't even know it, even if it's a subconscious thing, right, they're acting like an asshole to you because they want to see, well, how does he fight it off?
Right.
Because when I get it, it makes me depressed. Mm-hmm. So when I look at it like that, it changes my mindset to where there's certain things that used to boil my blood that I just realize is a waste of time. Even like some of the comments you see me responding back to, mm-hmm, I shouldn't have did that.
Right.
I shouldn't have been doing that. But that was just me defending my business, defending my stance, but that was me thinking too small. Now, when I came back home, if I see anything, and it's crazy because I haven't seen anything yet. I know it's coming, but when I see stuff, it's just like, first I say in my head, I love you. Because when I say that, you can't have hate and love in your heart at the same time. Like, even people who do these terrorist acts, something else Tony said, people who do these terrorist acts, you'll never see a happy person kill 40 people.
Not at all.
That doesn't exist. Right. That's not going to happen. Right. So when I'm looking at this, I don't want to fight nobody in that situation. And that's not to say I won't defend myself or my family. By all means, I will, but in that situation, it's not that serious. What's more important is that I don't know how much time I have on this earth. You know, if God has granted me 84 years, and if I knew that today, I would be doing so much more if we knew what time we had. So I look at that and I'm like, I got to look at it from a place of understanding, and I have to see them and say, you know, you don't know no better. Yeah. I didn't know no better. Maybe there was ways that I tried to get people's attention.
Yeah.
Remember, I tried to get a song with Kendrick hitting up DJ Dave, and Kendrick released a song called, it was a remix to a Swiss Beats song, and it's called On My Mama. That's like, you got to be really K-Dot fan to know that one. But it's like, On My Mama, and I hit up DJ Dave like, hey, man,
what's up?
Can I jump on a remix or something of that? Like, not knowing how powerful them dudes was even then.
Right.
And he didn't respond back to me. And I understand why, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, I was that guy at some point in time, so I have to remember that these kids that are hitting me up, and like even really pushy about things.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe that's their way of exerting confidence.
And it's a certain level of like a sense of entitlement from a lot of people too. Like,
oh, sure.
So I commend you on that, because I've seen a couple of times I'm like, dude, he didn't need to respond to that. But the way you respond, it's like, all right, he still kind of gave him some game. Right. You maybe go back once, twice.
I'll be trying to go tit for tat. Like, yeah. I'll be trying to, but that's
one comment there. Damn, he responded to that one too.
That was an old Curtis. I'm trying not to do that, but I mean, because sometimes
they just want you to respond anyway.
Exactly.
Just say something.
But guess what? No, me knowing now that depression exists in those low energy environments, I look at that and I say, low energy.
Low energy.
Why would I even jump in that? If I know that all my success is going to come from having high energy,
then why the hell would you want to play in that playground?
That person is worth me going and having, you know, having a disease. I mean, that's extreme about it, but having the things that come with it.
That's a good macro way to look at shit.
Yeah. That perfect word for that. Because, I mean, I think that's what keeps me leveled. I can't think on very easy to reach ways of thinking. Like, it has to be extreme for me to have some kind of sustainable change.
Yeah.
Because that was my biggest thing when I came from that. I said, how do I know I'm just not on a high from the event?
Right.
So then I was like, staying still, unless I'm enjoying the moment and having gratitude, is the enemy. Being low energy is the enemy. Even today, like, this is the first day. Every day I've been getting up, clapping and dancing and doing all of that, finding my favorite songs from like early 90s, late 90s. And I had a moment where I was just working on the computer. I was back in my old ways for a second. I clapped. Yeah. I said, bullshit, get up. Went outside and jumped on the treadmill, went back in the house, even did like these little exercises they showed us. But if anything, I may sound like a blabbering fool, but the difference between now blabbering fool and old Curtis King is I truly – I truly don't give a damn because of how good it feels.
Right, and I mean, I don't think it's blabbering at all. You're telling your experience, and you've obviously had something that struck you, and it's a dope thing. Like I said, people will hear this, and they'll be like, oh, okay, I get it. Maybe they won't get it.
You know what I'm saying? And it's, yeah, definitely.
And I think that's what's dope about it. But what I definitely want to talk about is how have you been able to calibrate all this energy to Jubilee Year? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How does all this information go into this project that you got?
Well, low-key, when I started giving the advice and I started giving the information, it was a part of me that said, well, maybe music isn't your role. Maybe as a rapper, that's not where you're supposed to go. Where are you making your money right now? Because there's a book called The 4-Hour Work Week where he says, whatever is basically making you your most income, you should basically set very focused and basically demand yourself to spend time on that. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to dedicate energy to that in order for it to be successful. So for me, it was making beats. That's what makes me money. Being a rapper, it takes so much more money, right, Bliss? It takes so much more money to make that go off the ground.
Yeah.
Even to get your momentum going, even to get the people that you need to get to hear it. Yeah. It costs so much more money, even for merchandise, all of this stuff. As a rapper, as a producer, I can upload a few beats, pay a few monthly fees, and all of a sudden, my bills is taken care of.
Crazy.
You know, but I thought that I wasn't my calling no more. And I just didn't know what to talk about with music. You know what I mean? I wanted to go so many places. I wanted to be so many things for so many people. And I just didn't know what I wanted to say as a statement anymore. But it took that whole year. And then a friend of mine came to me and he was like, he just said something like very offhanded, like, oh, man, you know, thank God it's a Jubilee year. I was like, what you mean Jubilee year? And he was like, oh, you never heard of it? And I was like, nah, I thought I was, you know, that old girl off of X-Men with the sparkly hands. You know what I'm saying? I'm with the sparkly hands. I'm like, that's what it,
Jubilee. Stupid.
I'm like, they got a
Jubilee
year for her?
Yeah.
But no, he was like, the Jubilee year is a story in Leviticus where basically these group of people were enslaved for 50 years. All their property was taken from them and all their belongings, all this stuff. And after the 50th year, some people didn't make it to that 50th year. Everything was given back to them. But it wasn't just given back to them. They had to go back to the people who were now in possession of it because they changed over the possession of their stuff to somebody else, somebody who got comfortable in the house. Ugh. And it's like, yo, no, I'm going to have to fight for this.
Right, right.
So you think about 2016 and how everybody, I think pretty much everybody's in a general consensus how much this year sucked.
Yeah.
I don't hear many people saying like, oh, man, all these celebrity deaths, it's been an amazing year. Right, like, right. I don't hear people saying that. I know for me, it was I had a huge spiritual attack while all this stuff was going down, but it started making sense. Mm-hmm. You know, from the you know, the camp elections and all of this stuff going on, it started making sense when I was able to understand we're in that 50th year and all of those things that I lost from evictions, from repos, from my self-esteem, my depression, all this stuff that I lost throughout the years pursuing this dream, now it's coming back. So now I'm sitting up here and I'm, you know, I put up something on Instagram where I'm dressed as Rick James and I'm
that
looking like,
shit was funny.
But I'm looking like the old Curtis on Times 10, you know, time with more energy and more happiness. And now I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is a Jubilee year. So all of that stuff is coming back to me. Me having the confidence now to understand it because I didn't know that. Me understanding that pursued this project where all I want to do literally was, you know, because when I was, you know, under Salas's management, he's very specific about the way that he operates his business. And it's the reason why he has success with everybody he's worked with, right? And for me, I get ideas and I just want to run.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
But when somebody is in charge of your business and your system, you can't do that.
Right.
That's not good for either side. Mm-hmm. That's bad energy to even try to do that, to be rebellious. I'm just not a rebellious figure.
Right.
So when we actually parted ways, my thing was, I just want to release songs and do videos. Yeah. Release songs, do videos. And I did it and I kind of ran dry and I was not ran dry. I was just I'm kind of over it.
Yeah.
And I heard that story, and literally I was just like, at the end of the year, I said, man, if I knock out about 4 or 5 more songs, I think I have a solid project that needs to happen, and it can only happen this year, because I got to wait another 50 years.
Right, you can't do that shit in 50 years, dog.
Yeah, so the story of getting back everything that's yours and having to go through enemy territory to get it back, that's what all these songs are about. You think about a song like Glory. Glory is a celebration of, you know, just having that. You know, even like... there's a song called Kimi, and I got that statement from Head.
Get out of here.
I got the statement from Head. He told me to start Head. Like, that was my... him being the branding expert that he is was telling me to kind of put that. But I have a song called Kimi, and it's just all of these songs were made before I went to this conference, and they were songs basically dedicated to the new me, or the person that I could see myself to be with the confidence. And now I came home and I'm listening to him. I was talking to Merz the other day. He was like, man, that sounds like a crazy experience. Do you not hate the music you made? And I'm like, nah.
I was about to say,
like, bro, this is I made the soundtrack to the future me without even knowing it.
That's wow.
So now I listen to it, and it's like all the songs. Like I got a song called "Listen to You," where I'm having a conversation. You think I'm talking about somebody else, but I'm talking about the voice inside my head, the negativity, glory. You know, all of these songs are like literally. Now I come home. It's like somebody made. It's like I had a movie and somebody already had the soundtrack made when I came home.
Waiting for you.
Oh, so the project was already finished before.
Project was done when I went on there.
Okay. You had a title, a name for it already?
Okay. Album cover and all of that stuff was done.
Ready to go.
Like video, all that stuff was done. And then the election, you know, night happened. And then the night after, it was the first night. And I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that I went in there to that because I was really feeling it. Like I was really looking at all of this stuff going on. And I was like, if I consume another day of Facebook or another day of Twitter, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Yeah.
But I went there, and it was literally the spiritual cleanse I needed. So now as I'm going forward, everything is assertive. Everything is confident. Everything is for sure where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm seeing it now to where it's like, you know how hard I had to work to get a Tickophobia to number 41 on iTunes?
I can imagine how hard I had to work.
I had to do so many videos. I was driving around with money I didn't have. My fiance had, you know, her truck, and I didn't have no car. I was trying to make this shit happen. Right. You know how hard I had to do just to get that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to belittle it, but now it's coming so easy. Because now all the people who were like, bro, like, you taught me how to count 16 bars in one of your videos.
Right.
That's like teaching somebody how to, you know, the person that taught you how to tie your shoe. You'll never forget that person. Right. Maybe first and last name.
Right.
These lessons that I'm teaching these artists are lessons that are not just me being on my ivory tower. Like, oh, when you get to my level, it's not that shit. It's me saying, look, nobody told me this. I'm going to try to tell you this as your big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I share this, and now they're like, man, you the first person to ever teach me this easy way of counting 16 bars. And I teach them, and they're appreciative, and then I hit them back. And I was just like, you know what? My biggest problem, just personally, has always been that I was afraid of selling because selling feels sleazy.
So
I'm not a seller. I'm not a closer. When I was dating,
yeah.
I used to use my sense of humor to my advantage because I couldn't close.
Yep.
But my sense of humor was so strong that was almost a closer.
Right.
But I couldn't close.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't close. And it took me now until this after this experience, even kind of before, but after this experience, to be actually selling something to people and me knowing like I deserve that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not entitled, but I deserve that because I make quality. We haven't even spoke about the music in these marketing videos.
Yeah.
All we're talking about is the experience of this last year and me giving value. And I haven't asked them for one thing.
Yeah.
But the one thing I am asking for them is $2.99 purchase for Jubilee year. And it's not like I'm asking them just to purchase that and that's it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get something.
I gave them a list of rewards that they can get. So everything, the courses that I did this year, the drum kits that I did for producers, the consultations, all that stuff I did.
Everything.
Look, make your choice.
It's all coming with that purchase.
$2.99.
And that's cutting half a lot of different, you know what I'm saying?
But to me, that's the epitome of what that first video was. What is value?
Yeah.
What really is value? Because when I think about value, I used to think like, oh, that's the shit that my mama wanted to get when we was kids because it was less money at McDonald's. We get the value meal. I thought it was what value was. I thought value was always money. But then I somebody posed it as an example. They said, them Griffies, I got some Griffies that I paid stupid amount of money for, and I'm almost embarrassed to say what it is, but I wanted them since I was 12 years old. The value of those shoes to me were so much, I was willing to use money that should have been going towards rent,
right.
But the value was so strong. Like the first time I ever shared information with somebody in my Facebook, the inbox, he had paid for $10,000 worth of equipment, but he still had the receipt. He didn't know how to turn the on button on. Right? And he was like, yo, I'm panicking right now. I made these purchases because Guitar Center told, you know, they be gaming people.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I made all these, I don't even know what to start with. And he's like, can you help? He's like, what do you use? I said, a laptop, a MIDI controller, and two speakers and an external drive. He said, no fucking way.
He's like,
and so I broke it down for him and I cut his budget from $10,000 to pretty much $1,000.
Wow.
And so by the end of that, I could just hear it in his type, and he was like, bro, whatever you need your bathroom remodeled? I said, we're renting. I said, we can't do that, but I appreciate it. He said, man, I got firearms. You need firearms? You need
whatever you need. To risk, I got you. Yeah.
His freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Allegedly, he said that.
I ain't say no name.
Okay,
so we're good.
Cool,
but
he's
willing to risk his freedom for the value that I gave him. Yeah. So
I'm
understanding that value. Yeah, me understanding what that value is, now I'm like, okay, I'm giving, you're supposed to over deliver on your value with your customers, and you'll have a customer for life. You'll have raving fans that are forever, they can't stop talking about you. Yeah. I'm a raving fan right now of Tony Robbins. But he over delivers. So for this project, look, you got all of these things that you can get for free. And mind you, like, my FL Studio course is $50.
Yeah.
Get it for $299 right now. Wow. Because the value of me reaching that plateau on iTunes means so much to me. Because it's not just about iTunes, because iTunes wasn't here 30 years ago and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's really about the statement to myself and the statement that, you know, once I get in a high energy situation, once I really, truly, truly, truly believe in myself, without a shadow of a doubt, I can look in the mirror and know that I'm proud of that person. When I know that can happen and this is the result of it, what else am I capable of when I set the bar high?
Right.
Head said an investment in Curtis King right now would have been like an investment in a young Steve Jobs.
That's right, right.
I know that verbatim.
Yeah.
He probably said that 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I don't take those words lightly. And now I'm in a situation where people are starting to realize, like, I don't just listen to other rappers. Like, I don't listen to other rappers. Like, I listen to a lot of these entrepreneurs. I listen to these people who have done things that our industry sometimes can't even fathom, because we got our own distractions about things. But I listen to these folks, and they just give them free game.
Yeah, straight up. All these podcasts and YouTube, yeah, there's a lot of shit out
free
there.
Free fucking game. Yeah. And you know how hard I got to work just to get a rapper to hit me back on Twitter?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
But at,
like,
the same time, it's all about how you apply the knowledge that you get, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, your subconscious is always looking harder than you are ever looking. You know, your subconscious is looking harder for answers than ever. That's why you get in your dreams and your subconscious got to give you a hint about something that's getting ready to come to you, because you can't see it.
Right.
Your subconscious is working all up in your REM stage.
Yeah.
And then you wake up like, I'm not fucking with this person again, because yeah, I don't know why. I had a little deja vu. Right. You ain't had no deja vu. Your subconscious was like, layup. I got you. But
you wake up and say, I am not fucking with that.
I don't know why. I just have this feeling not to, you know, he's just unfuckwittable now. Yeah. But that for me, that's it. That's it. Is just understanding that aspect of it and really knowing now. Really knowing my worth, not just being told it, because somebody told me and I know, okay, I'm worth it. But if you don't feel it in your bones,
yeah, you gotta feel that shit.
It does mean so, because I appreciate anybody who said it, but it don't mean shit if you ain't feeling it.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't feeling it. I mean, many times, anybody who's listening to this right now, listen, watch my old interviews that are up for Homegrown Radio and see where my eyes were most of the time. Because I was going through a lot of real shit. Even like when I was a Black Cloud.
Yeah, I remember that one specifically. Face was chubby. You know what I'm saying? Bro, you had, like, the Count Dracula.
Because I was eating my way out of depression.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, can I drop this news
for
y'all?
Go ahead, bust it. Go ahead.
My book, The Prosperous Producer, is already going through the editing phase. And I'm hopefully looking at top of 2017.
Wow.
I got approached about doing a book when I did that first video, that Biggest Lie in Hip Hop. There's a guy, Maurice, reached out to me from Florida. He's an independent publisher, and he said, I think you got a book in you. I said, hell no. I said, I'm you know, 30. I said, maybe in my 40s I have a book. And he was like, I think you have a book in you. You have a real good story in that, and I think you need to tell it. So for the last year, I've been every day I get up and add like 2 or 3 pages.
Really?
I scratched my book 3 times.
That's dope.
Every day last year, like, that was the most silent thing that I did. I didn't share the process. Every day I woke up and I scratched the book 3 times. And the last one, you know, I literally, like, the book is, it's called The Prosperous Producer. Every chapter is like, chapter 1 is the tempo. Chapter 2 is the kick. Chapter 3 is a snare. But I'm not talking about how to make a beat. I'm talking about the tempo of life, the tempo of my grind, the tempo of my mindset. Kick. I have a quote that one of my friends said, that the kick is the heartbeat of a drum loop. Well, what's the heartbeat of my grind? My mom.
I talk about
the stories of when I used to sit in the front of the church and she would play piano and I watched the drummer and I would focus on him and I'll focus on my mom and I focus on him and watch the choir. And I'm like, damn, that's probably the reason why my drums are loud, because the drummer was loud.
Right.
And I put choirs on a lot of my beats. So I talk about all that stuff and I'm able to hash out a lot of stories I didn't hash with The Prosperous Producer. It's done.
That's dope, dude. This is going to come after. Wait, when does the album drop?
December 2nd.
Uh-huh. So you can pre-order that right now.
Pre-order it right now at myjubileeyear.com.
Okay. But then the book is going to come after that,
Yeah, we still got to go through that editing phase. Mind you, you know, have patience with me. It's my first book. So I'm waiting for him to butcher me. But I didn't realize
that you did it, dog. That's amazing, dude. That's amazing. And I would imagine that it takes the pressure off of you as you're still creative in a different aspect, but it takes the pressure off of you as a rapper now, as a producer. It's like you have another lane to kind of fulfill something that keeps you full. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, what I really want from it, I mean, obviously I want to tell my story, and I want people to be able to, like, especially producers, I want them to read it and understand that, like, I didn't always have the answers.
Yeah.
I didn't. Like, there's many times I've messed up, then messed up again, and then messed up on something I already messed up on again, and then did it again, and did it again. I want them to hear all those stories. Like, I want them to hear, even, like, let me share this with y'all, because this is probably, like, the hardest thing for me to share, because it's embarrassing, and it's the most depressed I've ever been. It's my lowest point. I shared in a book. There was a time where, you know, I was kind of submitting beats over to G for White Lightning 2, and I was hoping that was going to change my financial situation. He kind of had some plans about he wanted to kind of go elsewhere in terms of his career, which is by all means what he got to do. But I had been making like 3 beats a day for 3 months, over like 87 something beats, and I submitted to him, and I put my whole hope into it, and that was my mistake. And it didn't come together. Basically come together. So I found myself getting that news from my manager at the time, and I got overwhelmed by depression. And I started, I don't know why I got on the internet, but I got on Facebook and I read this article. You know that song Rebecca Black Friday?
Yeah.
Friday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had been listening to it at that time. I thought it was a funny ass song. I don't know why, but I came across an article that said people are committing suicide after listening to that song so many times.
Get the fuck out of
here. Right? So here's how silly it is. I'm susceptible to anything. I'm not realizing I'm having a fucking nervous breakdown.
Oh, shit.
Right? So I'm reading this article, and in retrospect, it sounds silly, but they're talking about, you know, this song has, you know, physical effects on you because there's subliminal messaging going backwards in the song, and that's why it's so catchy. And I'm like, damn, it is so catchy. I'm, like, justifying all of that because I'm weak.
Yeah.
I got so weak that I had so much adrenaline that I couldn't, like, stand still. So I got up. And I'm listening to the song, and the song was stuck in my head. I wasn't even listening to the song. The song was stuck in my head. I sound like a crazy right now, but the song was stuck in my head. I opened the door, and I was ready to jump off.
Get the fuck out of here, Kurt.
I took 14 steps back.
Get
and the
fuck
only
out
thing that stopped
here,
me from fucking jumping was I looked over in the corner, and I had, because I was staying with Jinx at this time, and nobody was at the apartment, but we was all poor, and I was depressed. But only thing that stopped me was seeing a picture that I kept up by my little cubbyhole corner, because I was staying in his living room, of my little sister. That was the only thing.
Wait, and you it just was so where?
I was in San Bernardino.
No, like, you were in an apartment?
I was in an apartment. I was
upstairs.
On the second level.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been dead. That fall would have killed me. There's no two ways about it.
No, I'm saying you were, like, on top of what? What were you on top of?
I was inside of an apartment. So I was sitting. So the thing is, when I was living with Jinx, it was a one-bedroom apartment. And I basically had the living room. I would sleep on the couch, and I would get up and go to this little corner cubbyhole with cabinets and work on my beats, right? So then I'm sitting here in my depression, sitting in my corner slumping, and then I see this article. I get up, and I'm like, I'm going to fucking die. Like, I'm losing my mind. It happened to me. Because I'm reading the article, and they're talking about all the symptoms, and I'm
like,
a natural hypochondriac.
Yeah,
I'm a natural hypochondriac.
I got that.
But the thing is, my mind was so weak.
Yeah.
Because of the things that I had endured, and it was more than a lot of stuff, but I was ready to jump off. And it sounds so silly because of a Rebecca Black Friday song, but I was that susceptible. And I looked over that balcony, and I said, yeah, it's happening. I can't get this fucking song out of my head. And I look back, and I'm ready to jump off, and I look in the corner, and in the middle of me, like, having an anxiety attack was really what it was. A picture of my sister that was sitting on top of my laptop had fell off to the side and was literally staring directly in my fucking face. And I tell that story because I need them to understand that, like niggas don't always have it together. I don't care how successful you think somebody is or how great they put the smiley face on.
Right.
We go through shit sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as silly as it is, as ridiculous as it is, as crazy as it may sound, that's something that I went through. And, you know, I share that in the book because it's important for folks to realize the stuff that they go through. Sometimes it ain't as bad as they think it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's always a silver lining. Like, one thing, I'm sorry, I keep quoting that Tony Robbins, but he says that in life, things don't happen to you. They happen for you.
Yeah.
They happen for your benefit. It's never something that happens to you.
Yeah.
When somebody dies, it's happening for you.
Wow.
When tragedy happens, it's happening for you.
That's an interesting concept.
You know, and I had to like mull it over myself. Like, wait a minute, there's got to be a certain
I'm sure you replaying situations happened in your life. You're like, well, damn, that did work out because of this.
Because you know what, me, my hardest thing is not forgiveness. I can forgive somebody who's done me dirty. I can forgive them. I'm angry for a long time because that's just I have a temper I get from my dad. But I can be forgiving. Mm-hmm. But for me to turn from forgiveness and say thank you. Right. To somebody who's done me wrong.
I appreciate that lesson.
Like, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying thank you for doing me, do somebody else like that. I'm saying, had you not done what you did, this, if I'm happy right now in the moment right now, guess what? This moment is not available to me had I not endured or had my time wasted by you. Mm-hmm. You know? So everything happens for a reason. Everything is supposed to be that way. Now, for me to think about the people that I used to have such ill will towards, and it's just, be a thankful person towards them. It changes myself because when we say hateful shit, it's coming from a dark place. When we say, like, you know, just anything, it's coming from a dark place. And for me to realize it's what it is, like, I'm just like, yeah. Even like my pops has always been, we had that conversation a long time ago. And that was a deep one too. But, you know, like, we had our own issues and I could tell him straight up, like, thank you. Like, thank you, because literally the discipline and the crazy stuff that happened in terms of, you know, just whatever.
Have you had that conversation with him?
You know, it's crazy. I went to Minnesota earlier this year. I got invited out there to do some production for the homie Prof, independent artist on Rhymesayers. And he had me come out there. And it was such a eye-opening experience because it's like, I came from Cali where ain't no damn snow.
Right.
And now I'm surrounded by nothing but snow. And people who have a whole nother way of living, a whole nother speed.
Yeah.
Sitting there for a couple of days, and I basically, he had me up in this, it's like bedroom attic, and I'm just looking out the window, and I'm just thinking about a lot of stuff. And my pops came up, and I was like, you know what? I need to be able to lay out every issue that I've had. Lay it out for him and just tell him, like, look, I'm not coming from a place of the kid that's angry at you. Mm-hmm. I need to just say my piece. Right. So you understand where I'm coming from and where I am as a man. Now the next step is the thank you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after that Tony Robbins event, like, he reminds you that these are the things that are holding you back.
Right.
We go through all these different mazes not realizing that thing is, like, literally, like, Geppetto with the strings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think, like, oh, I'm moving, like, shit is good. Right. It's like, you ain't addressed that.
Right. It's still going.
You're not going to see it until you get in a situation where it's like, shit is real good.
Yeah.
And then something stupid snatches it away. Mm-hmm. It's like, when the fuck, how did that happen?
Right.
Yeah. I've been in there where I'm like, really? Like, y'all remember my laptop I called Frankenstein?
Yeah.
My fiance and I, like, I wasn't making a whole lot of money in a certain time period, but thank God for her, because she drove me to this opportunity to have a placement with this video game. A homie had hooked me up with them. And I went in there, my laptop. I had this laptop that it broke one night, because it was a 17-inch laptop, and I used to put it in my backpack. And it was terrible size. It was just broken. I opened it one night, and the shit just bent back all the way. The other way that laptop was not supposed to bend. And so I literally had to, like, you. If you remember, I had to shake this laptop in order for it to come on. And I imagine... Imagine going into this video game company where they have the state-of-the-art computers.
That's crazy.
I'm walking in there with a fucking blonde flat top.
Oh,
you know, walking in there already standing out, and I got this laptop, and I'm shaking.
Hold on one second.
Yeah. And they look, and I'm like, I'm trying to make noise, but right. I got to make noise with it. And, you know, just seeing that kind of stuff, I wonder how much of that stuff is rooted in the things we haven't addressed. I mean, obviously, anything could happen.
Anybody.
But I think that those things happen to kind of remind us that you still got to go, you got to clean some stuff up.
Yeah.
You got to make some things right so you can fully get it. But I think what better year to do that than the Jubilee year?
Man, that's crazy. I mean, I love the fact that you went through this whole journey. I feel like that's always a great time. And not just from the marketing standpoint, but as an entertainer, you want to have something to say.
Right.
And obviously you've been through a lot of shit and you have something to say and you can speak to it, speak at it in a certain way that most people are actually really understand versus just throwing material out there.
I think that's dope
that you've had different means of living and experience that you've had to go through and ultimately putting this out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm a right brain thinker. Like I'm not the analytical one. I'm literally the RC Farsi cat.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm what you call it. I'm on my hipster shit. Yeah. I'm the RC kid. I was always that when I was younger. And as an adult, realizing that's what it is, mm-hmm. I'm able to kind of harness both sides. I need to be analytical when I need to be analytical. When we're doing contracts, we got to be analytical.
Right.
When you're talking about money, I got to be analytical. Mm-hmm. But me realizing that's what I am, I just have to be in full control of myself and understand where I'm at when these situations are coming up. So,
what do you think one of the biggest, and we touched on this earlier, but just so we can mm-hmm. kind of, you know, get a sense of how you feel about it. What do you think one of the biggest lessons that you've learned by giving advice to up and coming artists or just up and coming producers, whoever that's seeking your advice?
That no matter the industry, no matter, you know, the background, you know, there's human beings on the other side. I don't care if it's a rapper. I don't care if it's somebody that's working in a cubicle at Microsoft. People are appreciative. People, you know, these are still human beings. And I used to think like the same way everybody else thought. I mean, rappers ain't appreciative.
Right.
These are the same dudes that go on your email and ask for free shit all day. Like, yeah. they don't care.
Yeah.
But literally, like, bro, I wish I could just open up this email. But I got an email from a dude last night. He said, I hope I did this right, but here's a screenshot of your album. My mom had to do it because I'm blind.
What?
What?
My mom had this.
Bruh. All right. I just got chills, dog.
My mom had to send this screenshot because I have them basically for this contest. Well, not a contest, but this. I call it the Jubilee Year Value Exchange. That's what the whole campaign is about, where they pay for the pre-order, send me a screenshot to my email. He sends a screenshot, and I'm like, I'm thinking like he playing, but he leaves a picture of him like literally – like looking at, like he's like, you know how like I don't know what you call it. I think it's, what is it on the Max where you can see your face
screenshot,
like kind of like a picture in picture.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got.
So he's showing his picture and his eyes is rolled up, and I'm like, you know, not being disrespectful, but I'm looking, I'm like, he's blind. He's really blind. He said my mother had to do this, but I was hoping to get that FL Studio course that you did. And bro, I sent him the FL Studio course. I sent him the drum kits. I'm like, and that's probably really, if people, if you listening to this, good thing you listening, because I'm over delivering.
Right.
If you say, man, I'm kind of torn between these two, I'm giving you both.
Right.
Because it means that much to me. I don't care about what it looks like. Somebody's like, oh, that's desperation. You being thirsty. I don't give a fuck.
Oh my God.
Flying fuck. Now it feels so good. You get somebody who says, I am blind and my mother had to send this email for it. How do you not get moved by that?
Yeah,
that moves me more than my favorite rapper talking to me.
Yeah.
That moves me more than that. So when I see that, I'm like,
because the
I'm
thing
speechless.
Is you're establishing relationships with other people. You're moving and touching people the same way somebody did that to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, things that you've hoped for, I think we've all accomplished this. Like, as creatives, you want to have that type of, not necessarily responsibility, but you want to make that impact on people.
Yeah, definitely.
And you go through, like you say, you make your hardest records, or, you know what I'm saying, you do something, your craziest visuals.
Right,
you do
right.
all of these things, and something as simple as
so small.
Pulling my iPhone out and talking.
Out.
You know,
exactly.
just talking. The same
exactly.
stuff we would talk in just general. And, you know, and it's crazy because now seeing that, within this leasing beat community, within this producer community, that I'm becoming like a leading voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm literally in this realm. They look to me for information the same way that small businesses look to a Gary Vee,
mm-hmm.
or look to a Tony Robbins, or look to these cats.
Gary
Vee, right? Gary Vee, straight like straight shooter.
Straight shooter.
Straight shooter. And I love what he's taught. I need that because I'm not that. I'm not. An
everybody
A-type
has. I think everybody has what. You find different, because I listened to Tony Robbins for a while too,
right.
and I was off of him, and I've been on Gary Vee for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. There's quite a few people that I've done it, but it's, you go through your times and your
Absolutely.
Phases through people. So I mean, everybody has something that grabs you a certain way.
Yeah, and for me, I'm not an A-type personality. Mm-hmm. Gary Vee is an A-type personality,
absolutely.
And I need to hear somebody saying like. Another
fuck that
exactly. Mm-hmm. Grant Cardone is another one. Grant Cardone is like this Southern dude. He's like the epitome of this white Southern dude, and he has a chapter in his book called 10X. It's a book called 10X. I highly suggest for anybody if you want to understand this level of energy.
10X?
The 10X rule.
10X.
So 10X, the 10X rule, and one of the chapters is stop being a little bitch.
Yes.
Right? So if you're going to get it, get the unabridged audiobook version, because I prefer audiobooks over the physical. I just love consuming it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I need that A-type personality because I'm not that.
Yeah.
I'm this guy right here telling me like, no, stop making fucking excuses and get it done.
Yeah.
I need to hear that, right?
Right?
And so that voice becomes something inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like this is... I'm seeing it now. Like, it's really feeling like a Jubilee year. I feel like I'm able to explain things. There's no rush.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, it has to be this way.
Right.
And to be honest with you, like, in my last situation with professionals like a Salas and like a Chardy, I felt pressure because they motherfuckers, like, they work. Yeah, they, they get it done, right? Sure, they're not working with no lightweights.
Right.
So for me, it was like I couldn't be this indecisive because I'm wasting two people's time, mm-hmm. three people's time, including myself.
Yeah.
So now it's like it's not so much I have to get this done. We have to meet this deadline. I'm making deadlines, but it's like if I want to wake up and dress like Rick James and run an ad campaign because I'm sitting here and I'm like, if I don't act on it right now, I'm going to lose the feeling for it. Yeah. I do it. I did this morning.
Right, right.
Drop the videos. Now I'm thinking about the next thing, you know, and all of these things like Grant Cardone teaches. He says the problem with small businesses, and I relate it to rappers, is that our biggest problem is not – who we, you know, it's not always who we know. It's not always if we have a hit. It's not. He said your biggest problem is obscurity. Nobody knows who the fuck you are. Mm-hmm. That's your biggest problem.
Shut up.
So whatever you can do in your power to rise out of obscurity, that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
So we get, as rappers, sometimes we get kind of tangled up because it's like, damn, well, I don't want to look stupid when I'm trying to do something. But it's like, you got to be able to fail.
You got to do whatever the fuck you got to do.
You
got to
fail. But you know what? I tell you, being in that situation with folks that were such consummate professionals, they didn't allow me to fail because they're not, they operate at a higher level of success.
Right.
So for me, I was missing the feeling of failure. Mm-hmm. I was missing the feeling of damn, okay, I got to regroup and do something different now. Mm-hmm. I needed that. Like that makes me feel alive.
Yeah.
It's almost like somebody who you protect them from pain and then they get it and it's like, you know, for me, I need to have that level of just like, okay, shit is real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nobody responded to this particular marketing that I did.
Right.
What was wrong? Right. I love problem solving in that aspect. That gets me excited. I don't get discouraged.
Right.
But now I'm in a situation where it's just like I can run these plays, and then some things happen. Some things work, some things don't. Right. I don't mind failing in front of my like. I say I want to be top 10 on iTunes on the hip hop charts.
Right.
I peaked at number 40. Who the hell am I to say that?
Right, right.
How can I walk around with so much confidence and believe that that's going to happen?
But who are you not to believe that either?
Exactly.
That's the bar.
There we go.
That right there is a thing that I wasn't able to have for myself.
Yeah.
I saw that in everybody else around me except for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that it would be it would be kind of infectious and it would get into my system.
Yeah.
But I had to literally address the things that I didn't want to address. You know what I mean? And I had to address the most painful things. And then, too, I had to reorder the things. Remember I told you those six things every human being wants?
Yeah.
One of the things he says is, what order do you list everything in?
Mm-hmm.
My number one was significance. I wanted people to care, like, that I was. I wanted people to know I was somebody.
Yeah.
But really what I wanted was love and affection.
Mm.
Well, shit, I ain't got to make a song to do that.
Right.
I go to my, you know, right here, in my household.
Yeah, yeah.
So even now, something I do, every hour I got my timer that goes up, my phone been going crazy because I still got that. But every single hour, I have a gratitude attack. I look around the room and I try to name five things I'm grateful for.
Go ahead, bust it right now since it's been going off.
I'm thankful for this water, this alkaline water that I never had because it's giving me energy that I never
That's
had.
One.
I'm thankful for Bliss because you was one of the first people to invest in my music. Mm-hmm. Chuck, I'm thankful for you for opening your household to me when you had that open night.
Yeah, I remember
I'm
that.
Thankful
yeah.
for all the inspiration you gave me, all the game that you gave me, and really seeing somebody that exuded so much confidence gave me the confidence to want to be more of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for this table holding up my arms because I could literally be sitting on a stool and dangling them off.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I got all my fucking fingers because I could be missing fingers.
Right, yeah. right.
Thankful for my big toe. You don't
Shout
have a big toe,
J9
you can't balance.
One time. Shout out to homie J9. You know what I'm saying?
Oh. Oh Lord, but I'm thankful for my big toe. Not even my 10 toes, it's my big toe because you can't balance without a big toe.
Hey, that's a bar though, for real. Like people don't think about that. Just like you can't do shit without your thumbs.
So I challenge anybody that exactly that. Imagine your life without that.
You can't even.
And see you break it. And
you can
then
still
you
open your that Frankenstein laptop though. You can still do that. But
you gotta
other
check
than
it
that.
Up. Yeah, but I mean, then too, I asked myself, what am I currently excited about?
Because
when your mind has to go to work. Then it has a chemical change in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Who loves me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does it make me feel that they love me? It sounds really hippie, but do that with yourself. Do it when it's just yourself and you don't feel embarrassed around other people.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you feel like you're confused and depressed, one of the speakers at the event said, get up and shake your ass. As silly as it sounds, get up and shake your ass because it's shaking up your cells.
Yeah,
it feels good,
and it'll change your mood.
I do it all the time.
So that's why you be twerking. Okay, I get it.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not quite twerking, but, you know,
Curtis King twerks. I mean, that's what you're just saying. You get up and you shake your ass.
On Thursdays.
That's what I'm saying.
Only on Thursdays. But it's I mean, I hope that people, if anything that they're getting, the most important thing is, you know, give yourself a chance. Because I was always going to other entities, other labels, other, you know, professionals to tell me who I was.
Yeah.
To help me identify what success means for me. To help me find my confidence. And that's a journey that you're not going to, you're going to meet people who are going to show you examples.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you still got to find your own way.
Your own way, yeah.
You know,
that's so true.
One thing I do want to ask you before we close things out. One thing I do want to ask you though is your relationship with MERS, man. If people don't understand that the campaign that you did in 2012, man, it was 2012, right?
2012.
To get on Paid Dues and then establishing that relationship with MERS, and now you have you just talked about earlier how casual your conversations are with them.
Right.
You know,
right. It's crazy.
Talk about that in itself, because I think that. Manifesting that intentionally or unintentionally, the fact that you're able to do that, you know what I'm saying, seeing the path that he's taken. And then also, I want to get your opinion on the whole 24-hour rap that he's done. Obviously, the criticism that he's been getting because of that. But talk about your relationship with him and your thoughts on that.
Well, for me, you know, with MERS, first of all, that's my big bro. But yeah. I didn't always see it like that. The first time I met him, I thought he didn't like me.
Really?
I have a video about that.
Yeah.
Like, he's very, like, he wants to fill you out first. He want to know, like, what you about. He want to know your energy. I understand it now because I see how important my energy is to me.
Right.
But first time I met him, he was like, oh, Curtis King. Okay, I know about you. Send me some beats to my email. That was it.
Damn.
He said nothing else. Next time I saw him was at Noah James had performed at Paid Dues, and I saw him walking down the hallway. Like, I was walking, and I was like, oh, what's going on with you, MERS? And he was like, he didn't say shit. He just looked at me.
Damn.
He's fucking with me, though. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I campaigned for Paid Dues. He starts doing, you know, live streams. People were like,
Nipsey was on there, right?
No. That was me and Noah Nipsey.
Right.
Before that, he was doing, you know, live streams. Like, you know, I'm giving some more Paid Dues updates. And people were like, Curtis King from Paid Dues, Curtis King. And he was like, I've never heard of him in my life.
Wow.
Right? Some head shit. Some ping ping. Some he was on some like I've never who is he?
Right.
Why should I care? But I didn't understand, like,
I don't get it. What's going on?
But what I didn't see and people were trying to tell me is, like, understand the psychology of what he's doing. You're the only one that he's acknowledging that he doesn't know. He's messing with you, but in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, it builds up a tough skin. But to go from that to now, like, he'll call me out the blue or I hit him up. You know, anybody that I've ever seen of influence that I've looked up to, I've been a nervous wreck around.
Mm-hmm.
Even around the TDE folks.
Yeah.
I've been a nervous wreck around them. And I think that energy is the reason why, like, I never got an invitation to be part of that.
Of course.
Even though I was working on so many records over there. But my energy was messed up.
Right.
I was like a little kid in a candy store, just like looking around, like, surprised at everything. Because I looked at them dudes like literally like gods back in that day. Because I was like, they're going to, even though Kendrick was just K-Dot at that time, I was like, yo, I've never heard anybody rap like this in my life.
Yeah.
Looking at Ab Soul, I'm thinking of him like, oh my God, that's the best in Carson. And this dude was coming to my, like, this guy was coming to my grandmother's patio laying verses. And it's the first guy I ever saw lay a verse without a pen and a pad. I talk about it in a song called King Me, which I got to listen to that because I even name drop head in that. But, literally, he would come to my grandmother's patio. Grim was there because Grim is the reason I got introduced
Shouts
to Ab Soul.
We'd
be in there, and Grim was just, you know, cool. And I play a beat, and I'm thinking, like, he ain't saying nothing. He's not a man of a lot of words. He's just sitting back there, kind of cooling with his glasses on. And then 10 minutes pass, I'm like hitting Grim on a text, like, yo, is he feeling it or is he going to rap? He's like, don't even trip. Like, watch. And 15 minutes later, he get up, get in front of the mic, turn the beat off. He says, I'm Ab Soul. I'm real at this rap shit. Positive self-affirmations. Didn't even know that's what it was. But then he lays it down, first verse, our first take, done. Does it again. He's like, how you feel about that? I'll do it again.
Does it again.
So, you know, seeing that in the early stage, being around there, seeing, you know, the first time Kendrick had actually, you know, exchanged emails with J. Cole and seeing the excitement in his face.
Yeah.
You know, seeing, you know, J-Rock, when J-Rock was like, there's a point in time where it's like, it was, to me, a bigger honor for J-Rock to be on a Curtis King record than it was for K-Dot.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot to anybody, but it's like, at that point, like, J-Rock was like one of the pillars of the West Coast.
Absolutely.
And it was like, when Lift Me Up, I was like, yo, I gotta get a record with this
Hell
dude.
Yeah.
But Yeah. So, but being around that, I was always nervous. But Merz is the first person that I can be around that's of influence, and I'm able to talk to him and have my thoughts clear. Mm-hmm. And I don't need anything from him. I don't ever need anything from him. But he's giving. He listens to what I'm saying. Even the campaign for Shut Your Trap, he allowed me to run plays.
Man, I forgot about that. Damn.
Who lets Curtis King? You know this. Produce what have you done?
Right.
You don't got the views that Merz got, but he gave that to me.
Who are you?
Who am I? You know, yeah. But he gave that opportunity to me and then let me release the project on my birthday. If that don't give you a boost of confidence, that gave me that.
Yeah.
So fast forward now, like I'm explaining to him, we had a really long conversation when I first started doing the videos, the value videos, and he was just like, man, I'm inspired by what you're saying. He's inspired.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Somebody that I hope would just respond back to my email. Is inspired
by you in a hallway or something now.
But then peep this. So because we exchanged this positive energy, and mind you, when I like people don't know, I was part of League of Stars for a minute. Mm-hmm. I was one of the first people on League of Stars,
right? Yeah.
So when all those records were dropping, I was on the bottom of the totem pole because I couldn't make like original beats that sounded like,
right.
You know, shout out to Trin and D Nice and Jay Nari. I couldn't do what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so, at that point in time, like having a brain fart, but at that point in time, I was trying to make beats in that realm, and I was really trying to find my way. When I broke away from that, man, I really just lost my damn thought. Train of thought. Anyways, Murray is cool as hell. He allows me to do things. He gives me the confidence to work around people of influence, and him respecting me at the level that he respects me allows me to just have a calm when I come back to LA. Cause you know, I'm originally from out here, from out here, LA, Inglewood, Carson. I'm originally from out here, so both I consider both home, i.e., and LA's home. But you know, I was always an outcast when I was out here. Mm-hmm. So then I go to an outcasted area, and then I find a home.
Yeah.
Then I come back home, and now I'm a whole another person in terms of respect. But it had to happen that way.
Right.
And so, I'm just happy that he trusts me so much with the stuff that he trusts me. Like, all I was going to say, I'm sorry.
No,
this is the point, is that working with League of Stars, I probably submitted about 40 beats trying to get E-40 on a beat. It's one of my favorite rappers.
Yeah.
The moment I turn my back on pursuing placements, Merz calls me and says, hey, bro, I think I'm going to put E-40 on that one record you did.
No.
Oh, shit.
No.
And it worked out in your favor, bro.
What?
That's crazy.
The moment I turn my back and I stop wanting, begging, just give this to me,
The path of least resistance, bro.
Let me just do what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And not worry about who I'm embarrassing. But then he calls me and he's like, yo, E-40 don't just spit. He spits an E-40 verse.
Exactly.
Like for the person that had Ghetto Report Card and like that means so much to me to hear that E-40. And you know that now the placements wanted to start coming the moment that I stopped focusing on them. But all in all, like honestly, I went on a super long rant, but I appreciate y'all having an opportunity. I'll be honest with you, like
dope.
Even all y'all family, you know, just because of the business of things sometimes, like I truly didn't know if I have an opportunity to come back up.
Oh, come on, man. Nah.
And I'm not saying that to y'all. I'm not saying that to y'all, but I'm saying that just because, you know, just when you break strides with folks professionally and there's mutual friends and it just gets weird sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm just speaking as honestly as possible. So yeah. I appreciate all of y'all. I appreciate the words and stuff that y'all share. When I see y'all pop up on the social media, like I said, we haven't seen each other in a long time, but I appreciate y'all. And just giving me the platform to go ahead and do this. But December 2nd.
Yeah.
December 2nd. Pre-order right now.
Get us a good alcoholine, man.
I'm
need to get
I'm
up and twerk what you need to do. You need to get up and twerk what you need to do, bro.
It's too much inactivity. That's what it is.
You've been sitting down for too long.
I never knew how country you were. Never. And I've heard you speak. A gang of fucking songs. Yeah. Your ass is country as shit.
Thank you to Charles Burton and Eunice Burton because they were from Louisiana. My grandparents on my dad's side from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Crazy.
Country.
I can't help it. Like, you think people are like, oh, you adding an extra slang like Drake? No. Yeah.
No, that's me.
That's me.
I'm not, he said, on my birthday.
I can't help it.
That's why me should be laughing at me all the time. Be sounding like that. I'm sorry. But no,
we had a conversation. Mm-hmm. We had a sidebar at the Common Ground, their last day. Shouts out to the Common Ground.
Right.
They still got their thing going on. It's a
a new location.
It's a new location. Yeah,
Class
yeah.
City. It's still in Riverside, but it's a Class City. Gotcha. Bigger location, more rooms. They even got a quote-unquote green room for those who partake.
The green room. Nice. Okay. Nice. They got food.
They got food. They got, Thai to you, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, bomb food.
But yeah, the point in that is being that we had that sidebar, and I never want you to feel like that's the case. Regardless of relationships, left and right, whatever the case may be, this platform is for artists like you. Like, you got on here and just spit so much game, and you've always been like that from day one. Whether you feel like you were going through some shit or not,
absolutely,
somebody was looking at you like, damn, like, I want to do that. Whatever he's doing, I see something that, you know, I'm looking up to him. So the door is always open for you, bro. We appreciate you as always, man.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What's up?
I don't know if you got the same number, but
You change your shit like that?
Nah.
Yeah, you got the same number. So I just sent you a text. I want to know if I can get my shit now.
What you mean?
Oh, you want your reward now?
Oh, okay.
I appreciate you.
He did a screenshot.
What you need, man? You need the FL Studio.
You want
course?
The FL
what
Studio?
You want
the courses?
I want all my shit. I need all my.
Oh, you know what we should do? We need to talk about that. We're gonna probably have to purchase one. And then
I was doing mine anyway because I need my consultation.
Oh, easy.
So.
Easy.
We should do it for somebody too, man. How about this?
You hear me up?
I'll purchase one too.
I'm gonna purchase one too.
Screenshot.
He said so I
need my. You gotta do that,
but I have a Droid.
I'm trying to get my shit.
Can
early.
I do it from my Droid, or I gotta get on my laptop?
You might get on your laptop.
Hey, I just thought about that. So what if you get like 7,000 orders, like
for 5,000?
Like that's great, but how are you gonna fulfill all of these things? Is it something where?
Why not? I've been doing it all year. Right now, my December is almost stacked to the day. Every day, I'm probably going to have to wake up and talk to another artist about their journey.
Yeah.
But that, to me, is like...
It's not work.
That's part of what fulfillment is that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Somebody's like, damn, Tony Robbins, you got to get up and talk for 13 hours and then fly to India the next day and did it.
And
that ain't no work.
Right,
like, to me, this is like... This is all in line. It's not a... I wouldn't have offered it... Had it been a, for like a job,
right?
Like, I don't engineer. I hate engineering.
Well, no, so what happens is like, this, I'm sure you thought this out too,
right.
I would just imagine that, you set out this goal, not even a necessarily goal, but just want to do something, just being, you know, the nice people that we are.
Absolutely.
Giving, and then realize like, oh shit, 50,000 orders came in.
That's easy.
Saying?
That's easy. Cause you know what? If I get 7,000 people who all want to talk for 15 minutes for the next 6 months, imagine how much energy they're going to be filled knowing that I've made that impact talking to them.
Got you.
How many artists release a project? And that's why I don't believe in a sophomore curse. I think what happens after the first album is that everybody feels so in tune energetically. They're in tune. Like, we got to get you up there. We got to get you up there. Then you get there, you plateau, and you look comfortable. Energy changes. Your the way you're making music changes.
Yeah.
Your demands change. Now you got other priorities because it is a label.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a disconnection that happens between them and the fans, and this is where they break off from.
Yeah.
Some people recover. Most people don't. So I don't believe in a sophomore jinx. I think that is literally the result of the same issues that any artist deal with. They don't have a true connection. They don't have a true fan. Just because somebody bought something from you don't make them a fan.
Right.
It makes them a customer.
Real
not even a dedicated customer.
Right.
How many times have you bought, you know, a skincare product or a deodorant one time and never thought about buying it again? So it's the same thing with these consultations. Like, man, I don't make it a soapbox, but even like I had a consultation with a rapper that was wheelchair bound, and he was trying to figure out, like, he was like, man, I met one of my favorite rappers and they treated me like shit. He said, I looked up to him my whole life and I tried to tell him my dreams, and he was like basically like laughing at his dreams.
Damn.
In a wheelchair, like he showed me screenshots of him, you know, rapping with his microphone in his wheelchair, and he's saying like I just need somebody to talk to me, like, because most artists, they really don't want the advice, they want encouragement, they want motivation,
right?
And by me giving that to them, it fills me up with energy, and I get to take that wherever I want to go, and it fills me up for my work. So if 7,000 people want to talk for 15 minutes. What demands do I got for the next six months that are bigger than them?
Right, right. I got you.
Because what happens is, whatever demands would come, like whatever demands I could even think of being more important than that, they'll literally rival that. Because if I have 7,000 people that are in the heart with me, that anytime I ask them, I need something. Because I don't ask my audience for a whole lot.
Right.
But if I say, "Yo, I got this, this, what do you call that fundraising website?
A GoFundMe.
I got a GoFundMe. I need to get this.
Right.
Right. They know that I deliver so much value. I over-deliver on my value.
Right.
Oh, off top.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are like, I got so many people that are like, I don't need a reward.
Right.
This is my thank you.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to rely on that. You know, and that's one of the laws of giving is you have to over deliver on your value. You can't look at it like we got to be 50-50. 50-50 don't exist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even in love, fuck that 50-50 shit. Like, that's the reason why some people don't find love, and that's the reason why I was up here acting a fool in my early days is because I thought everything had to be 50-50, and that's not the case. Somebody's going to have to always give more for it to work.
Yep.
Yep.
And the other person's going to have to always feel like they're giving more in order for it to work.
That's a bar.
I mean, I'm talking to the man.
That's straight up.
I had to understand that concept and realizing that it's like, okay, there is no 50-50. When I get that out of my head, everything's a lot easier. Because I have to stop waiting and being like, I ain't about to give you no energy, which you gave me the last few days.
Right. You've done for me lately.
It's like, if I'm just that person, I'm that person all the time, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. So like when I first got home from the conference, I know my family looked at me like a fool. Like, what did you go up there? Did you go convert your life or something?
Yeah, you joined the cult, right?
Like, Mark.
I'm sure, like, look, if I would have talked
Nashi
to myself.
Rumba.
Look,
if Rumba,
I, right? Rumba. We did say Kumas when walking over them coals. We said Kumas.
That shit didn't hurt, though?
Nah, I felt nothing.
Get the fuck out of here.
I walked over it, looked down, because that's one thing he said, don't look down.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I did. Yeah. I looked down, and I just looked, and we were like, he had got us in such a trance and such a just a motivating thing. We clap our hands and we say Kumas, and you know, mind you, 10,000 people. We had to walk barefoot over to that. That's the stinkiest situation in my life. First
all
of all, because it's a lot of feets.
Yeah,
a lot of feets is all over.
I can imagine. Be spanky.
Oh yeah, because they've been jumping all day and all of that. But anyways, we go to the calls, and I'm looking and I'm like, where's the fear at? Like, I'm literally looking for my own fear. I couldn't find it. And we walked out of them calls. It was just like, done. I was like, there's no way I'm done. I'm walking, and I'm like, there's no way this is, it must be, nah, it's not even hot.
It's no real cold.
And next thing I know, they got a water hose, you know, kind of washing off the coals at the bottom of your feet. Because they said if it stays on your feet, like, people have, like, had swollen feet after doing that.
Boils and shit.
Boils and all
so
that. Because it's so hot. And they doing that for 10,000 people, and they keep it burning. But doing that, just like, it's symbolic of letting go. It's symbolic of stepping over, you know, your biggest fears. Mm-hmm. And if I can do that, there ain't shit in this industry that's intimidating to me. Yeah.
All right, for real. Before we close out, we got a question.
Yes.
From Tony.
Tonestown.
Tony's
from
my brother,
Tonestown,
man.
He said, will he have merch for the new album and go on tour? And what are his favorite cities to perform in?
My favorite city to perform in, and this is not a political answer, is Bakersfield.
Really?
Bakersfield. That was a hidden gem of good people. I went out there one time, campaigning for paid dues. MERS called Noah and was like, my opening act had to cancel. Can y'all come out here and perform, you and Curtis? Wow. And so literally we had 4 hours to get there, and it was a 3.5 hour drive. No, it was a 4 hour drive. We had 4 hours to get there. And literally, I had groceries in my hand when Noah called me about this. He was like, are you down to go do this for this campaign?
Yeah.
And, you know, Meesh drove the car and got us there in 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Go ahead, Meesh.
But,
walked
up in there, and we thought we had like 30 minutes to spare. They was like, you ready to go on?
It's like, wow.
Boom, boom, boom. And so in that Bakersfield crowd, I met my homie Tony, man. He's been such a blessing. Like, he just... That's just somebody that I love him to death, man, because he really looks out for everything that I'm doing, like anything I got going on. But yes, there will be merchandise. I'm working on the merchandise. There will be physical copies of the CD. All of that stuff is just coming together, and I'm not having to force nothing. So, but touring, it's been a few opportunities kind of presented, but nothing stabilized as of right now. I know Noah's talking about jumping out there on tour, but I'm leaving my options open, man, because I think that those who are in the position, because I'm not a show booker. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Yeah.
And that could be a huge issue for my career as a rapper, but I love touring.
Yeah.
I love getting out there on the road. But, you know, I think that there's some people who are going to take notice to this campaign.
That's dope.
You can't run around here with an album in the top 10 on iTunes and not get on no tour.
Hello. There we go.
It's not gonna happen.
Speak that shit.
And if not, then I got another album to release.
There we go.
Got more work to do. Gotta keep the momentum going. Thank y'all so much.
The Jubilee year, December 2nd.
December 2nd. All
right. Then the book again,
The Prosperous Producer.
The Prosperous Producer.
Top of the year.
Top of the year. More than likely.
Congratulations on that, dude. That's dope.
Let them know how they can grab it, how they can contact you. And man, that's pretty much it at this point, bro.
For beats, CurtisKingBeats.com. That's always the number one. For courses, FL Studio courses, website building courses. For drum kits, CurtisKingBeats.com. Right now is the only time you can get it for $2.99.
Man, please
jump
literally,
on that. So
when are you going to cut this off? When the album drops? Or
just in November.
Okay.
Just in November.
So it's only for the pre-order?
Only for the pre-order.
All right, so jump on that, man.
So here's a bar right here is that I learned is that the way that these projects spike up, because I never used to believe in pre-order. I'm like, what the hell are you doing pre-orders for? Nobody wants to pay for a project that ain't out yet unless you are die-hard, right?
Yeah.
But with iTunes, they count that towards your first day sales. So if you account for at least 1,000, you're going to make some hella noise, right?
Oh, damn.
So I did 41 with no pre-sales on a Tickophobia.
Damn.
Right? Give me pre-sales now. Now understanding that pre-orders, and then I'm like looking at emails like every other 10 minutes. Somebody else is like, yo, man, you've been such an inspiration to me, bro. Like, thank you for this opportunity. I'll take the drum kits.
Yeah.
Boom. Get on WeTransfer, send it to them.
Right.
Thank them profusely and move to the next situation.
Keep it going, yeah.
But... yeah, I've already won.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and that's what Gary Vee always says. He says if you're happy, you already won the game.
Already won the game.
Jump out the, you already won.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's like I'm happy because I'm getting what my number one thing that I wanted. It's not the significance. Forget the significance. It's the love and the connection and knowing that there's people out there that you know give a damn and want to hear what I have to share. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not right about everything, but there's a lot of things that I do know. And it's eye opening to see all of these folks that come out that they've never left a YouTube comment. It's the first time I talked to them is in an email.
Get out.
Damn.
Saying, yo, I just been watching from the, cause sometimes, you know, you trip, of course, this is our natural thing. We look at views on videos like, damn, my shit falling off. Like,
right. Damn,
ain't nobody comment. Like, damn, 10 comments on this one, but it's like 70 on this one. Like, damn, what did I do something wrong? Yeah. You over, you know, micromanage. And then somebody hits you with, my mom had to send this because I'm blind. You feel me? Like,
that's crazy.
What am I going to get mad about? For what? Like, it's happening, and it's happening for me as a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally not supposed to happen. Yeah. Not for me as a rapper.
Yeah.
Like, folks who love me and that know me, they're like, yo, don't take that shit for granted. Don't let that fall by the wayside. You're dope as an artist. But for the most part, people, especially in the industry, look at me like, oh, that's the dude that produced for Absol.
Right.
But to redefine that now, and not to say that that's something not to be grateful for, but I'm more than that.
Yeah, you want
to
move. Not necessarily.
I'm more than my credits.
But exactly.
Yeah, I'm more than my credits. Like, it can't just be that. Mm-hmm. I can't go down. I remember we were touring with MERS in Boston, and there was a dude that he was like, what's your name, bro? And I said, Curtis King. He just looked at me, and he was like kind of shaking, rubbing his chin. I started performing, and he was like right in the middle of my performance. He said, you produced for Absol.
In the middle of your set.
And all he wanted to talk about, how was Absol behind closed doors?
Oh,
he didn't care about nothing about me.
Right.
And and it did like,
is
like
his
shake
head
my,
that fluffy?
It did shake my ego a little bit. You know, I was like, man, I do some things too.
Yeah.
But I learned a lesson in that, you know, that's really was going to be my legacy.
Yeah.
But now I'm able to kind of... that's something Salas say is be able to, what is it? The conversation, kind of re-narrate the conversation.
Yeah. Frame the narrative.
Frame the narrative. That's what it is. So now I'm able to do that in what I'm doing. And now people know me as like, it's funny because they know me as a guy that sits in a chair and gives advice.
Uh-huh.
They don't know shit about it. Like,
right.
So when I do something musically and it's like, oh, you rap?
Oh, you rap? That's dope.
And then they hear it and it's like, you sound like somebody that's actually been doing this for a minute.
Yeah, you're like, actually, on the same channel, if you go back and look, you know, saying some videos prior to this.
It's cool.
That's me.
But you know what? Like, I tell you, I took a YouTube course. I've been just taking chances on myself, and I suggest, last thing, for anybody out there, artist, producer, you're trying to figure out where to start first, it's going to start with some kind of an investment in yourself. It's going to be a scary investment. You're going to have to pay money for something you've never paid an amount for.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I paid $100 for a YouTube SEO course. I just took a chance hoping that I can make some money off my YouTube.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I mean, I had bills due. I couldn't have spared that money at that time. Right. I did it beginning last year. And it was like, oh shit, that whole thing just flipped off because I took that. Like, no investment in yourself is ever a bad investment.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever. You're going to get something from it.
You're going to get something from it. Yeah. Even if you don't see it monetarily, you're going to get something from it. So I think that's my biggest takeaway with that. But I appreciate y'all, you know, letting me rave and rant like a fool. But I love it. I love it, man. I love the energy, man.
It's always great to give you that platform, man, to come in here and speak. And it's like you rejuvenate. I can only speak for myself. You rejuvenate me, and I know there's some people that are listening that get that same feeling, too.
Dope.
So
yeah, I fuck with it.
Add Curtis King on everything, right?
Add Curtis King. Two S's. Please don't do that. Do me like that.
Jubilee year, December 2nd, and then the Prosperous Producer coming soon, top of 2017. There's no reason to say, you know, what would you do before the end of the year? You know, just get them on that top 10, man.
Hey, we doing pre-order. That? Oh, yeah. The Love and Light show is at the Clash City. Go to my Twitter account, @ Curtis King, and I have more information. I'm performing on the 19th.
Okay.
This Saturday, actually.
Dope.
But yeah, it's on. It's on. We're gonna crack that top 10, and there is no other way to look at it. We're gonna do that, and
it's
then from there on, it's gonna happen.
Absolutely.
But it's gonna happen.
It's happening.
It's in the process. Already done. I just gotta walk into it. But nah, thank y'all.
Absolutely.
There it is.
And on that note, it's checkout time.
It's checkout time.
Gotta go.
Yeah, baby. It's checkout time.